we continue in our sermon series this morning, what are we aiming at? And we've moved from connect to grow, now to impact. And next Sunday, we'll identify more precisely what impact looks like. This morning, I want us to focus on and how do we position ourselves to make maximum impact. And I say maximum impact because I suspect that all of us share a common desire to make a difference in this world. We want to leave a legacy. We want to change people for the better. We want society better because of our contributions. We want to make a positive, lasting impact. And to that end, you and I do a number of things. We work very hard at our occupation. If we're a student, we study hard. We save our money. We donate our money. We donate our time and energy to worthy causes. We do community service. We spend time with our kids, or with our parents, or with our grandkids. We try to make a difference in people's lives. We try to make an impact. And then we come to a verse like John 15:5, and we hear Jesus say the following, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a person remains in me, and I in them, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Really? Nothing at all. Apart from Jesus. So my overtime in the office, nothing. The extra time I carved out for my kids or grandkids, nothing. What about the community service I rendered? The money I donated. The context of John 15 suggests to me that Jesus is distinguishing between two types of impact. He is distinguishing between temporal impact and eternal impact. And what I suspect Jesus wants us all to recognize is that even if we give all that we've got, even if we give 100%, to all the things that call for our attention, there is a danger that the impact will be limited to this world only. So Jesus offers us in John 15 a better way. Now, I don't want to unduly diminish the value of the impact we make in this world, shaping minds, making a difference in people's lives. But temporal impact has a problem. And the problem with temporal impact is that it's temporal. It has an expiry date. It's for this world only. Jesus gives us a better way in that he offers us the opportunity to make an impact in this world, an impact in people's lives that lasts forever. I reckon there will be a day when we meet our Lord in heaven that we will see certain fruits that have endured beyond the grave. Certain things we have done, certain contributions we have made that have endured. And in heaven there will be a reward. Jesus offers us a way to make an impact that lasts forever. And looking at John 15, the way we do this is by remaining connected to him. He uses the metaphor of branches to a vine, a helpful metaphor to know that the idea of bearing fruit is bound up, connected to a relationship with God. So the nature, the duration of my impact and your impact depends entirely upon the status of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, we can all make a difference in this world to some degree by our own efforts apart from Christ. But if we want to make a lasting impact that has implications, ripples into eternity, it hinges on the context of our relationship with Jesus. And the more closely we connect to Jesus, the greater our impact will be. The greatest impact is the impact that lasts. The greatest impact is the impact that endures. And one of my favorite passages to encourage this kind of work is Hebrews 10, 19 to 25, which you've heard read. And in this passage, I find a dual emphasis, a balanced emphasis, where the author of Hebrews calls us to not only connect to God, not only should we connect to Christ, but he says we should also connect to one another. And in doing these things, we maximize the impact that we can have in this world and for all eternity. It is in Hebrews 10 we find that relationships are not ends in themselves, but that they lead to something. Our connection to God, our connection to one another, is meant to overflow into meaningful, lasting impact. I don't know about you, but I'm sometimes tempted to just charge into impact, to leapfrog to impact. I see a need that I can meet, and I don't really think for a minute about enlisting divine resources. I just jump in. I see an opening where I can fill a gap, fill a void, and so I move forward. But what I've noticed is that when I aim at impact, when I aim at impact apart from connecting to God and apart from connecting to his people, the influence that I have is limited and diminished. My experience confirms what the Bible already told me, that my impact, the difference I can make, corresponds with my connections. It corresponds with my connection to Christ and with the people of God. The stronger my connection, the greater our impact. I'm so thankful for how the author of Hebrews directs us in our relationship with God. And if your Bibles are open to Hebrews 10, you can follow the points that I'll lay out in a moment. Firstly, and I love this, the author of Hebrews tells us to get real in the presence of God, to be real, to be authentic in the presence of God. In case we're wondering, well, how do I connect to God? If connecting with God is the way that I make a lasting impact, how do I connect with God? The author of Hebrews tells us, be real with God. Draw near to God with a sincere heart. And by telling us what to do, he's also telling us what not to do. Let's not try to fool God, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. There's no sense that we should put on a front in front of God, because he sees through it. He knows who we are. So it serves us best and it serves the relationship best if we're real, if we're authentic, if we're sincere in the presence of God. Secondly, we should be confident in our approach with God. And this is an awesome thing, because if we read our Old Testament scriptures, we'll find that a common theme with the people of God is fear. Fear. Because they had an understanding that the one they were approaching was holy, holy, holy. That he was an awesome God who reigned in heaven above and held the universe together by his power. So how can we, people of the New Testament and beyond, how can we be confident in approaching this holy God? Well, the author of Hebrews tells us that it's the death of Christ that becomes the basis of our confidence. We're not confident in the presence of God because we're anything special in and of ourselves. We're confident in the presence of God because of what Christ has done. We're confident in the presence of God based on the merit of another. If I can give you an illustration for this, and it's something I think about all the time, and I've given this illustration once in another message. For a number of years, the late George Gross would take me to Toronto Maple Leaf games. It was always a pleasure to go out with George. It was always interesting because I was one to always to go to hockey games in my jeans and a ragged t-shirt and maybe a ball cap. And so I got the sense that George might not appreciate that. So I asked him, and sure enough, he wanted me in a full business suit. And I now understand why on one particular night, because George was an invited guest of the ownership group of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and I was his guest. And though I'd been to Leaf games before, I'd never experienced what I did that evening. See, the late George Gross was a bit of a celebrity around the Air Canada Centre. And we had access to certain rooms that I never knew existed. Rooms that had security guards. But they never gave me a second look. They never stopped me and said, can I look at your ticket? Can I see some ID? They never asked me anything. Because I was with George. And so at first I was a little nervous. You know, you had the feeling like, I shouldn't be here. I don't deserve this kind of access. And then I realized the only reason I could get to these places was because I was with George Gross. Now, I've been to many games since, and I know where all those special rooms are, but I wouldn't dare try to get in. I wouldn't dare try to get in and say, oh, remember me? I was here a couple years ago, 2005, with the late George Gross. They would turn me away because my access was bound up in him. The confidence I had in entering those special rooms was tied up in him. And so when we think about why should we be confident in the presence of an awesome God, it's because we are permanently accompanied by His Son, Jesus Christ. It's nothing in ourselves. It's our walking and accompanying Jesus that allows us access to the presence of God and all the divine resources that go with that. Be confident in your prayers. Be confident as you read the scriptures that God wants to bless you and engage you. Thirdly, we should be committed in our approach to God. I get the sense from Hebrews that God's not impressed by occasional visits. I've given you the illustration of the way people prepare tea. You have people who dip their bags in and out and people who let their bags steep. And the sense I get is that God wants us to be steeped in His presence. We don't dip in and out of the things of God. We're steeped in them. We're committed to them. For this reason, the author of Hebrews encourages us, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. In short, the author of Hebrews is encouraging in us a high, high level of commitment. But it's not a commitment that's independent of God. It's a commitment to Him and to His people. Part of what enhances our impact is the connection to God. If I can give you another illustration on that note, I have a friend of mine from my congregation in Tottenham. He is an engineer, and he has helped me to build four decks. He's helped me to build a deck at my mother's cottage, my own cottage, the manse in Beaton, and also the manse here at 48 St. George's Road. And all four decks are, in my mind, perfect. Perfectly engineered, strong, attractive looking. They look marvelous. Now, if any of you have ever seen me wield a hammer, you know that I shouldn't be left unsupervised in building a deck. But all four decks that I've contributed to look marvelous. And it's because I have a connection to someone who knows how to build. We may not feel that in and of ourselves that we have the ability to make profound differences in people's lives. We might not feel like we can be world changers. But I want to encourage you this morning and say you can. You can make huge differences in people's lives. You can be a world changer. I can't imagine building a deck without my friend Jim. And I hope that none of us can imagine attempting anything apart from enlisting God and His divine resources. God is the huge portion of what gives our efforts maximum impact. The author of Hebrews encourages not only a connection to God that's strong, that's built on confidence, that's built on commitment, that's built on sincerity. The author of Hebrews not only wants us to connect meaningfully to God, he wants us to connect meaningfully with one another. And to that end, he gives us three things to do. And he begins each sentence, at least in the NIV, with the words, let us. Let us exhort one another let us gather frequently together, and let us encourage one another. Now that's the order they come in the text, verse 24 and verse 25. I think the second one should come first. In order to do the other two things, to exhort and encourage, we have to be together. The author of Hebrews is setting out the very simple challenge, spend time together. Get together as a group on Sunday morning. Get together as a group. Meet each other's home. Study the scriptures. Gather frequently is the exhortation. And once we're there, it's not just having a cup of tea and trading stories about the weather and the maple leaves. But when we're together, we're told that we should be challenging one another, pushing one another, exhorting one another to make progress in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's not all challenge and exhortation. There is a time of celebration. He says, encourage one another. And the way I see it from the text is we're being exhorted to areas where we need to move forward. And we're being encouraged with the progress already gained. And that's really important to balance, because think of your friendships. If you have someone in your life who all they do is push, 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 and they never encourage, that's challenging, isn't it? Then you might have someone in your life who's all encourage, encourage, you're perfect, you're great, you're awesome, but they never push you to a new level. And there's great balance being offered here. That as we gather as the people of God, we push one another to greater heights, but we celebrate and encourage the progress already gained. I see in the book of Hebrews that the impact we can make is hugely enhanced by the time we spend as a group. One more analogy to that end. Some of you know that many years ago when I attended Ridley College, I was on the lightweight rowing team. It was an 8-person crew. And one of the things with this crew is I was the only one of the 8 who was also on the hockey team. And winter time is when you did your training, your erg scores, your weightlifting, your runs. So what effectively happened was I was left to work out on my own when I wasn't at hockey practice or in a game. And the 7 other crew members got to work out together. Now, at the end of the hockey season, when I was reunited with my other 7 crew members who'd been working out together all winter, their fitness scores were off the charts better than mine. Now, is the reason for that I'm just a slob and I never got around to working out on my own? Well, I hope that's not the answer. I think the real answer is this, that when the 7 got together, the encouragement that they gained from being present for one another, the push that they got from seeing each other reach new heights, gave them greater progress in their fitness. And that I missed out on something, not having anyone to push me, not having anyone to share the burden with me, not having anyone to encourage me with the progress I had made. The 7 were way ahead. And I see that as an illustration for the body of Christ. The ones that stick together, the groups that stick together, make the most progress. And that those who think they can advance as a Christian at home alone have forgotten the great push we get from one another. They've forgotten the encouragement and what that does to the impact we can make. Because we do want to make an impact. We want to leave a legacy. We want to be world changers. We want to be difference makers. We want to make a positive, lasting impact. And so I implore you, do not attempt anything apart from God. Do not leap towards impact before plugging into the divine power source. And let's maximize the impact we can have by working together. You already know this to be true. We can accomplish so much more as a group than we ever can as individuals. And so I pray that we will always aim at maximum impact, recognize that that impact comes from plugging into Jesus Christ and plugging into one another's lives. May this be true in us today and forevermore. Amen.